This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Coming up here, Tyler Hansbrough in 15 minutes, Makai Lewis in about 45, the ACC wrestling champ. Look forward to talking to him. Remember, he's one of these guys that kind of got lost in the discussion with Hayden Heidley and Clay Lout and those guys, right?
It's a tough division, man.
Man, tell you what. Those were three hombres up there the other night, weren't they?
We got some dudes in this league that can wrestle.
Tell the truth. You know Mike Krzyzewski has a SiriusXM radio show?
I've heard that. As a matter of fact, right after off campus, normally once a week, normally on Thursdays, that special time because we have tournaments this week. But, yeah, Coach K rocked it last night at 6 p.m. sharp.
So, apparently, he spent a good bit of time talking with Dave Sims about the emotions and the game and the festivities of Saturday night at Cameron. We thought you'd want to hear his comments.
I'm still emotioned out, and
I can imagine.
And we did not play well against North Carolina. North Carolina played great, and it was surreal, really. Not just that night, but the couple days, the Friday, even starting Thursday, just the immense attention.
Right, the buildup, they just kept coming and coming and coming, and like
not
waves.
It wasn't the buildup for the game, and that's what's so unusual, is the buildup of just being in the building, and I was really knocked back with all the great things that people were saying, did, and showing up, and I never anticipated anything. It was more like a thank you, you know?
Yeah, and a massive thank you.
Yes. And I so appreciative, but it's really, I can't put into words.
I get it. We saw the emotion during the national anthem. We're, pretty tough dude there, Mike Krzyzewski, given his background. I mean, you couldn't help it.
Right.
I mean, you could feel it all day just riding around Durham, walking around outside the arena. And then, of course, a couple hours before tip, I mean, they were ready to rock. That place was ready to go. It was nuts.
The part about it that I found interesting is that he surprised himself, maybe. As much as he told Reese Davis he planned on slipping into character and that type deal, right? Like he does during games. Did he just find it hard to do, Pac? I mean, was it too much? Was it? I mean, this guy locks in better than anybody we've seen coach in a long time.
Well, we were there. I mean, listen, if you weren't emotional watching it, you don't understand the history of the league or what he's represented,
right,
and the excellence and how long he's been doing it. And I think his point of, hey, North Carolina played great, and give North Carolina credit, man. They could have walked in there and went, yikes, not tonight. Let's just get out of here alive.
Yeah.
They came to play. And once again, shades of blue, putting on a show and giving you something to talk about. It was an amazing night.
Yeah, no question whatsoever. Interesting to hear him talk about, it started to roll in on – maybe Thursday, Friday, prior to Saturday, where I think, he, and again, I'll refer back to this great interview that Reese did with him that aired on game day, where he talked about kind of, once all that's over, I can drop into game mode. Well, the problem was that all the stuff maybe beforehand triggered things he wasn't sure were going to happen. But they did, and I understand why. And look, it is a huge honor. It is a huge icon stepping away from college basketball, let alone in this league and let alone at that institution. There you go.
Well, Dave Sims did a good job there, didn't he? Dave's up here in Seattle chilling out.
He might have been in New York. Dave's got West Coast, New York. Baseball boys haven't figured it out yet, so Dave's probably still in New York. We might see Dave Friday.
Could.
Dave could come by and visit with us. Yeah. I think he lives in Brooklyn.
Hey, whatever. More the merrier.
Maybe Dave brings some bagels down.
I can't have the bread, man.
All right.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. This could be a tough trip for me. I know we're only there for 12 hours, but, man, New York's such a great food town. God.
You don't get there till Friday morning. I don't know what in the world is going on with you.
I'm getting in at about midnight.
Yeah. We're leaving as soon as it's over.
Yeah, I mean, it's just.
So, I mean, you'll be fine.
Yeah, bagels in New York, though? God, they are
so won't bring
good.
The big ones until, you know, as the show ends.
I'm going to have to really be disciplined.
All right.
Dialed in.
Let's get you to today's games. Is there a player or two that could start a run today for their respective school?
Sure.
Yeah, right? I mean,
how
many times have we seen in this event a guy roll it out there and take his team two or three games into the event? Playing great. Olivier Hanlon comes to mind from Boston College a few years ago. He went for 40 against Georgia Tech, carried it on to another 30-plus game the next round.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a Randolph Childress here
right.
on this list, but there's somebody. Could they get hot today and maybe tomorrow? Sure.
Yeah.
I think there's a number of guys that can do that.
So let's start with Terquavion Smith because he's a high-volume shooter.
Yeah.
And at times a high-volume scorer to match, 16 points a game. 18 and a quarter in ACC play, and he's one of these, if the first one goes down, back up.
He's not the only one for NC State that can light it up, too. They've got a good 1-2 combination, which I know we're going to get to here momentarily, but I think if you're an NC State fan, as disappointing as this season has been, in terms of a spike for a day or two, could you do something? Sure, why not?
He's had 20-plus in five straight games. He had 34 in Chapel Hill against Carolina. He had 19 against Duke, 19 against Notre Dame. You know, he's the kind of guy that, quite frankly, can go get a big number and maybe do it in consecutive nights. You mentioned Darion Sebron.
Got to be.
That's the guy, second team All-ACC, who, if he can get to the rim. Now, remember, they're playing Clemson. Tigers are going to counter shooting threes as well, but Sebron is a guy, he's an impossible matchup. We've talked about it all year long. And 17 and 8 rebounds. He leads them in rebounding as well. These two together, that's going to be interesting to watch.
Well, I'm sure there's State fans watching right now going, okay, guys, great. If these guys are so great, how come we're the 15th seed?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you do have to play defense.
Right? Yep.
We're just talking about guys offensively that can say, hey, get on my back, let's go.
Yeah.
Those two guys, without question, have the ability to do that for NC State.
John Hughley of Pittsburgh. The old conventional post guy, you know, it's been a while since we've seen a post guy light up this event, but Hughley might be one of them. You see the 15 points, 8 rebounds, 47% from the floor, does have the ability to step out a little bit. He's not going to live or die on the three-point line, but he's the kind of guy that needs help too now. Hughley can't do it alone. He'll have to have a wingman or two to I think, ultimately be really successful. It's a talented guy, though, for an event like this.
It is.
Gets to the free throw line a ton.
That's true. But BC's got size, too. So that'll be the matchup leading things off today when Pitt and BC start this thing at 2 o'clock.
Yeah. He, by the way, when Hughley's on the floor, Pitt is about 13 points better per 100 possessions. So we'll see how that goes today for those guys. P.J. Hall returned to the lineup, and I would have told you a week ago I didn't think that was going to happen based on being there Wednesday night for the Georgia Tech game. He walked around to boot. He was double figures in all but two games this season, but he got 12 the other day against Virginia Tech. And look, this guy was second to Sebron for most improved, and got to be honest with you, I like kind of all the different details he brings to the game for an event like this, Pac.
Really, to be honest with you, Wes, I thought he was going to be at least third team All-ACC. I think you can make the case that he got snubbed on that.
I voted him third team.
Yeah, I know he was injured down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. But, man, the year he's had, he's been terrific. And Clemson's a totally different team with him in the lineup. I'll
tell you what, if he doesn't get hurt, he might be second team.
That's why I was really surprised he wasn't a third team mentioned yesterday.
Yeah. Michael DeVoe won the Everett Case Award last year for Georgia Tech in Greensboro. And anybody who brings that back to the table the following year, you always have to make note of, especially a guy who can go off like DeVoe can. It's been an indifferent year for Michael DeVoe. There have been some highs and there have been some lows, right, Pac? I mean, there's just too many variables. We'll talk to Josh Pastner about this coming up at 9 o'clock because I, as much as I like DeVoe and I think he's capable, to me, somebody like Jordan Usher – becomes much more of a premium in an event like this than DeVoe, especially this time for Georgia Tech.
I think Georgia Tech's a lot like NC State. They do have a 1-2 combination that when both are on, be careful. I mean, they can cause a problem. Yeah. So, again, there's a number of guys. We're not done with this list yet. Mm-hmm. But there's a number of guys that if they give you the A game today, I expect them to have success.
All right. We're going to put Malik Williams out here. He played the other day for Louisville. You know the relationship has been rocky, turbulent, whatever the term is you want to use. But when connected and engaged, Mark, this guy can play.
No question about it. Big-time player. And Louisville must have him. Even with him, it's been difficult. But without him, forget it. That's the way I look at Louisville right now.
Yeah. You almost feel like the cards with Williams and Sidney Curry and – Jared West and L. Ellis and all these. I mean, Louisville's capable of coming in and hanging 90 today on Georgia Tech, right? I mean, it's the zone and everything for Pastner, but my goodness, right? But they're also capable of throwing 48 at you.
Well, they're also capable of being consistent in the loss column, which is what they have done. They're losing, 10 of their last 11 down the stretch. I think their only win was Clemson at home, which was a fist fight. But, you know, for all of these teams today, Wes, the Tuesday six, if you will, this is a new beginning. It really is. And I said leading off the show today, you want to get to the NCAA tournament, all six of them, you have one means to do it.
Yeah.
You must win the tournament. So on your mark, get set, go at 2 o'clock.
Louisville first played in the tournament in 2015. They have two ACC tournament wins.
They've been very quiet in this event. They really have.
Syracuse has four.
I was going to say, and you read my mind because I was getting ready to tell you, Syracuse isn't much better. And those are two teams you expected once they joined the conference from a basketball perspective, that once we got in the ACC tournament, it would add some flavor and some joy. They've been both very quiet since joining.
Yeah. When we come back, we'll go to Chapel Hill. Guy who was featured last night in the documentary for his efforts taking Carolina to back-to-back titles. Tyler Hansbrough is going to join us. And ironically, we get to talk a little bit about Saturday night with him, don't we? We have to. Number 50 is next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Championship. 24 years later, Lowe and his NC State team were doing their Cinderella lineage proud, making it all the way to the final as a 10th seed. But Tyler Hansbrough was unimpressed.
I have never liked NC State. And I remember Sidney Lowe, he used to wear that red jacket, and I thought it was the ugliest jacket I've ever seen in my life.
Carolina showed their disdain for the upset-minded Wolfpack by grabbing the lead and building it to double digits. But the Pack had more in their arsenal than a famous coach in a brightly colored jacket.
Basket and the foul!
They just attacking, and you know, and the shot goes in, another shot goes in, and all of a sudden you've lost your momentum. They gain theirs, the crowd's into it. Then it's kind of a race to the finish line.
How about NC State? This is everything for them. Fell. It's a one-point game.
Coach Williams is not the one to call timeouts. He will let you fight and play through it, and you have to figure it out. He didn't want us to give in. He didn't want us to show weakness, and so eventually we had to figure it out.
There's a lot of intensity, emotion. We could feel it sitting here.
Terry again, Rivera.
Basket and the foul.
What an absolute terrific play by the veteran player. He's up to get the diaper dandies. It's time for the veterans to step up.
Once we did, you know, kind of handled that and kind of handled their run, I mean, it was lights out for them from there.
North Carolina is going to win its 28th game, and Lawson with a punctuation mark at the end of the game.
Great effort, championship North Carolina.
Carolina broke Duke's streak of ACC titles and took home the trophy for the first time in 9 years. A tribute to the determination of the team and their coach.
I'd watched the ACC tournament, and when I was a student, I watched it religiously. And I remember teachers bringing in the TVs and setting a little portable TV up so you could watch. So for us, we'll have a chance to win the whole thing. I loved it.
Never gets old cutting those nets down.
Want to go to Chapel Hill?
Let's do it.
Standing by to rejoin Packer and Durham, please welcome Poplar Bluff, Missouri's Tyler Hansborough. How the Mules doing? The Mules season over? How the Mules do this year? Do we know?
I haven't kept up with them this year, but the Mules, hey, we're always working hard in Poplar Bluff. You know, and it is a unique mascot. Not many people have as a Fighting Mule as their mascot, especially in high school. So it's great.
Pack, where would you like to start here? I feel like we got a menu list for Tyler today.
I want to go to something immediate. How did you watch the game Saturday night from Cameron Indoor? Where were you? What did you do? What happened afterwards? That's what I want to know.
Well, I watched it with a couple of my – well, a bunch of friends at, you know, a sports bar in Chapel Hill. I thought about going to the game, but I don't think you know, I decided against that. But to me, it was probably the biggest regular season win for the basketball program, especially if you just take what this team has gone through and how they improved and what they, you know, you're talking about when we just got melee'd in the Smith Center and turn it around and go pretty much do the impossible and what a lot of people thought we couldn't do in Cameron. That was a big moment for the program and Coach Davis. But also you have the aspect of Kay's last game, he's going to coach there. And all that went into the ceremonies and, you know, it was a big night for them. And it couldn't have ended better for Tar Heel fans anywhere. It was amazing. We loved it. We celebrated it. It couldn't have gone any better, and I didn't think the ceremonies were going to be that big until I started watching on the game. I couldn't believe it. The only thing I could really compare it to, and I know I'll take some heat for this, is Larry David, the Larry David Show. This season they have a guy that goes to his funeral while he's still alive so people can tell him how good he is. And I thought it was kind of one of those situations. I thought it was funny. Hey, Kay deserves a lot of respect, but – Tar Heel fans, we love that.
So how did you celebrate?
I mean, like we did. I mean, we jumped around, celebrated, had a few drinks a little bit, and we didn't rush Franklin Street. But we stayed local, and it was great.
All right. The doc last night, and I texted you last week to tell you that you were going to be in the doc this week. It was 14 years ago when you guys won in Charlotte. 15 years ago, first of all, that's hard to believe. 15 years ago when you won in Tampa. To win the tournament, the one that starts today, of all the things that happen, national championship, player of the year, all those things, how does the tournament fit in a career for a player?
Minimal. I think it's just a weekend tournament. I think that's what it is. I think your resume over a long period of time has more to do with it than – what you do in a week. And I've always felt like that. I felt like that when we played. I think these conference tournaments are fun for small mid-majors, and we really get into it. But for teams that are actually contenders, you know, winning your tournament, I think, can set you back a little bit because you just played, you know, short amount of games or a good amount of games in a short amount of time. And so you're really trying to recover and get ready for the next week. Whereas if you win a couple games and you lose early and then you go home, you can refocus, get ready, and, you know, what you really care about is a tournament, in my opinion.
I want to get back to the Duke thing a second, Tyler. Explain to fans what it's like when you get on the bus after winning at Duke and that 9 miles back to Chapel Hill. Is there a story? I mean, you never lost. So, I mean, that had to be the most entertaining bus ride ever, maybe topped by what happened Saturday night. But what's the bus ride like back from Cameron Indoor?
I was anxious. I wanted to get back to Chapel Hill. I couldn't get to Franklin Street fast enough. And the first memory is when we won it my freshman year on Sheldon and JJ's senior night. For me, that was that's one of my favorite wins at my time at Carolina because of you know, what they accomplished and how good of a team they were. We were trying to, you know, become some, you know, a team and really building ourselves. We weren't the most talented, but we worked and we competed. And we went over there and we got a dub. And that bus ride back, you just want to get to Franklin Street as fast as you can so you can celebrate with all your classmates. And they're great nights, great memories.
I want to ask you about Armando Bacot in that game. Because to me, he's had a phenomenal year. He's had an impactful year. But for him to go over there and challenge, especially the way the first game went, right, Tyler? I mean, for him to rebound like that and understand. And then what RJ Davis, and Mark said this on the air Saturday night in our visit with Debbie during the show, RJ Davis was one of the last guys you were thinking about on Saturday going into the game, and yet he's one of the first guys you remember. What was it about RJ Davis, but especially Bacot's transition from game one to game two? And then how does Davis, in your mind, capture the moment like he does?
Well, I think Bacot came out and he set the tone. He went right inside, right at Mark Williams, who Mark Williams is an unbelievable defensive player. His length and the way he challenges shots is unbelievable. And so what we learned, or what these guys did, I think Bacot came out there, set the tone. We went right inside, went to him. And then RJ to me has been one of these players who, you know, I believed in. I was just kind of waiting for him to break out. We'd see him come through in spurts and have big, you know, big games and then, you know, kind of go not really disappear, but not have the games we thought he was capable of for, you know, a couple nights. And all of a sudden you see these big games from him. I think RJ Davis is a very capable player. And I think he can, you know, potentially be one of our better players in years to come. But to me, last year, he really didn't get a lot of playing time. So to me, I look at it basically, this is probably his freshman year. And so he's going to see some highs and lows like a traditional freshman. And, you know, what we did in Cameron, I thought was our most disciplined game all year. You didn't see the lackadaisical turnovers that you saw in the past. And I think the team, you know, was on a mission. And I think they went over there, and when times got tough during the game, they didn't give in like, you know, we might have saw in the past. And they stayed with the plan, and it really paid off. But RJ played unbelievable, and I think he could be a great player for us.
Tyler, I want you to crystal ball both Duke and North Carolina this week. I mean, so Saturday's over and done with. You can't change history. It's done. What do you expect from North Carolina moving forward? What do you expect from Duke moving forward?
Well, for North Carolina, all I would like for us to see as a fan now, you know, come out and compete. And that's what I'm looking for is energy, effort, and to be a real good, you know, we don't have to be the most talented team, but we have to, you know, play hard and bring the effort every single night. But, you know, I think we've got a really good chemistry, and I think Brady Manick and Armando Bacot have great chemistry, and I think they really work well with each other as well. But I would like to see us come out there and compete. And I think a big thing for us all year is cutting turnovers down. And I think we really grew from that aspect. But as far as Duke, Duke's very talented, and they have a very good team. I would say they are a contender. And so, you know, when they're on the floor, I would – you know, I would say majority of the time they're probably have a better chance to win because of the talent they have this year. But I'm not going to predict them to go ahead and win a national championship or an ACC title, but it wouldn't shock me if they did either one.
How would you assess the year for Hubert? I mean, you just talked about, you know, kind of the trials and tribulations of year one. I think we all thought there was going to be some degree of a transition. And you know, and it's interesting because Duke's getting ready to go through the same kind of transition, right? Although, you know, Kay's been there 42 years, but John Shire's been on that bench a long time. So there is a little bit of a precursor there for Blue Devil fans. What would you say about Hubert's first year?
I think his growth has been unbelievable. And I think, you know, us as fans and just watching the game, you know, we didn't expect anybody just to go in there and you know, just kind of feel Coach Williams' shoes. I mean, Coach Williams had a long time as a head coach before he became the head coach of North Carolina. He did a lot of things at Kansas. So I think any coach in that situation is going to have, you know, ups and downs. I don't care how good they are. And with this team, I think they continue to get better and better and better. And I think Coach Davis took a lot of unnecessary heat from the outside I think they have a great record, and I think they had a good year. Yeah, we had some losses, and we had some dull moments where we just wanted the kids to compete better. But I think Coach Davis has done a great job. And, yeah, I think he's continuing to grow with the team, and it's been fun to watch.
Tyler, exclude North Carolina from this answer. What is your favorite ACC tournament memory that does not involve North Carolina?
Whew, man. Boy.
Shocking
nothing
win.
Pops out at me right now.
All right. I was going to say shocking win, shocking play. Can't believe they won it. What a terrible play. I mean, there's got to be something that pops in your head. Does not involve
I can give you one from your era. I thought when Clemson beat Duke in the semifinals in Charlotte in 2008, that was, to me, that was a shock. I thought Oliver Purnell had a good team. You remember that game?
Of course.
Yeah, I mean.
You kidding? It's one of the few we won.
But I thought when Clemson beat Duke to play you guys in the finals that year, that was as big a surprise in your 4 years as I can recall. I mean, Clemson was good, but nobody thought they were going to be, what was it, top five Duke, I think, that year? Because you guys were both in the top five going to the tournament.
So, actually, Clemson was a really good team to me. They were one of the tougher teams, even though we beat them majority of the time. I thought they were extremely tough. We beat them on the last second shot with Wayne Ellington, I think, the next year. But if you're talking about that team, Trevor Booker, I think, was on that team, and yep. James Mays. And those two guys, they were tough. And, I think Clemson, I think they were a capable team that year. But another memory that sticks out to me, and I don't know why this is coming to my mind, but I think Georgia Tech made a run a few years ago after kind of having a disappointing regular season and almost won the whole thing, or maybe they did. But that's one of the memories that comes through to me. But what I like to see in these tournaments is I like to see these teams that didn't have a good regular season, just all of a sudden go on a little run, and now they made the tournament. I think that's really exciting.
I remember Harrison Barnes scoring like 75 points against Clemson in one game. That's all I remember is Harrison Barnes. I swear, Clemson held him under 100, I think, that one game.
Hey, when you threw Wayne, when you said Wayne Ellington, Packer almost fell out of the chair.
Oh, God. Another one.
Tyler, you need to come sit in the basement.
Tigers, this ACC tournament thing has just not worked out well so far.
If we could bring you into the basement just to chronicle the Clemson losses one day, that would probably be best.
He doesn't have enough time.
Hey, you hitting balls today, by the way? It's supposed to be a nice day. You hitting balls today?
I might get out there. I haven't been hitting the range like I should or playing as much golf, especially for the expectations I put on my golf game. Which I'll never have the swing I want, but I'm working at it, and I need to put the work in.
All right. Good to see you. Be well. Take care.
Thank you, guys.
All
take
right.
care.
You bet. Tyler Hansbrough.
Pretty good player, huh?
Whew. Pretty insightful about Saturday, too.
Well, I mean, he's being honest.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a North Carolina fan, it doesn't get much better than that.
He called it
for a regular season game.
The biggest.
I think that's accurate. I did a couple interviews yesterday, and people asked me that question, and almost laughing about it. I said, "No, it's got to be on the short list for sure.
It's definitely on the short
list."
Yeah. Makai Lewis joins us next on this program.
Looking forward to this.
Look at here now. That guy is an ACC champion and well deserved. Out of a class, out of a weight class, by the way, that was as good as it gets at collegiate wrestling. We'll talk to the ACC champ, Makai Lewis, next.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Busy show. Tons of great guests, including our next guy who makes a return appearance. This time comes back as the ACC champion, Wes.
Makai Lewis from Virginia Tech joins us again here on Packer and Durham, and we'll go to Blacksburg to talk to him live. Welcome back to the show. Congratulations on the ACC title.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, too.
This weight class, Makai, I don't need to tell you now. It was a who's who, right? I mean, you knew hey, they're going to be nothing but grown men. This is a real battle. You've been through a ton of these. What was that like winning this ACC championship?
It felt really good because I was just training really hard this past week and trying to just fine tune, you know, my wrestling to be able to be successful in the tournament. And to also know that I beat a bunch of good guys, like going in the tournament, also like help with just being able to like go into nationals with like a good mindset.
When you see Heidley and Lautho, Makai, those are two guys that, I mean, that kind of caliber wrestler is who you're going to see in the NCAAs, right? I mean, it's going to be like that from the jump. And we keep talking about wrestling in this conference, but it's evident when you sit and watch the other day just how impactful this sport is and how good it is. And your weight class, I think, is the shining example nationally.
When you go to nationals, you always got to be ready from the first match to the last. And just to be able to go out there and wrestle somebody like Heidley and Lott, it was basically like a leader up to like that type of tournament. So
what was different with your match with Heidley this time? Because I watched the duel on Sunday night, and again, Virginia Tech, NC State, 1-2 in the league. I mean, we got dudes all over the place. Everybody's going to the nationals. But what was different in the ACC championships the second go around against Heidley?
I felt like more so I wrestled my type of style of wrestling. I think last time when I wrestled him, I more so wrestled at his pace and like what he wanted to do. I was basically just wrestling like his style. I felt like I got to more of my offense, especially in the beginning. And I wasn't really afraid to get to my attacks more. And I was more confident in myself too. I feel like I was in a better mindset and in a better place mentally. So,
Makai, when you get down to those two guys, and obviously you beat the top seeds to win this, what key things is it? You talk about keeping it your style, your pace. Is that the most important thing, or is there another secret to the success?
It's just, those two are like really important. I feel like. But also just being there mentally, I feel like is the most important too, because if you're not in a good mindset and like a good mental place, then it really doesn't matter if like about the rest. I feel like once you get like your mental mindset right, I feel like everything else just falls into place.
Makai, who's the most physically gifted wrestler that you have ever seen?
That's hard. It's a bunch.
Besides yourself.
Yeah, you can't say me. And if you don't like it, I'm going to put you in a headlock and eliminate the whole problem.
I
say that out of respect to your sport because, you know, the dudes are all cut. They're all tough. They're physical. It's no nonsense. And to see a guy on your level, and you've done the whole thing from an NCAA championship, ACC, Olympics, the whole deal, To hear what an answer from a real wrestler to say, you know what, physically, this dude right here, he's got the whole package.
Most talented, I feel like just wrestling in general, I could like say somebody in our room, Bryson Donian. Hmm. I feel like when it comes to like being just a natural wrestler, he's like one of the best I've ever seen, like ever got to like practice and actually wrestle with. Then if you're talking about like actual like physical and like I guess like built wise, I could say Jaden Cox, because I trained with him at the training center, and he's just like he's a freak. So
when you say somebody's got natural wrestling moves, explain the difference between that and somebody that is skilled based on work ethic and so forth. Because there's got to be a difference there, right? Somebody just has the natural moves instinctively when it comes to the sport.
Yeah, it's like you don't really have to think about it. Like, they just know what they need to do, and like, they are just successful with like the stuff that they do. Like, you could tell when somebody like trains something a lot compared to somebody who's just like they're just gifted at it. Like, they could get it on anybody. And like that's how I feel when I like see Bryce wrestle a lot of the times.
And where do you fall in that? Where do you fall in that? Are you naturally gifted, or do you think this is a combination of all the above?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, I work hard like since, I don't know, like I was younger. So I think it's all of the above. Like I'm naturally gifted, but I also work hard. So
I want to ask you about two of your teammates, Corbin Myers, Nathan Traxler, guys who also had great success in Charlottesville over the weekend. Talk about their particular disciplines and what do you think their prospects are along with yours as you guys move forward to the NCAAs in Detroit?
I think, well, Corbin, he's fast, you know. He's lighter weight. He's real slick with his leg attacks, and he's a good all-around wrestler. And I think last year really helped him with his mindset of, like, being able to All-American and, like, get him in the right place to, you know, now say, like, I could be a national champion. So going into nationals, I feel like Corbin is, like, his confidence is, like, so high now. And then Nathan, I just think that Nathan, he's such a big guy, and he's, like, doing all these, like, leg attacks and, like, wrestling, like, a lightweight. So, I mean, you don't really see heavyweights hit some of the moves that he's, like, doing. So I feel like that's an advantage for him. And he's just, like, he has a good mindset, and he's just ready to go out there and, like, have fun. So, and me, myself, I'm just ready just to wrestle and just be able to compete again at nationals.
Makai, I've never been to the national championships. It's on my bucket list, and when it's on television, it just looks incredible. Like the intensity, everything's going on. What's it like for somebody who's never been, who has never even watched the NCAA wrestling championships from a competitor standpoint? What is it like, the environment?
The environment is crazy, to be honest with you. It's kind of hard to hear sometimes too, but it's so fun. It's like it's really electric too. Like it kind of gives you goosebumps just sitting there and like watching everything happen, especially being like as you're like warming up to wrestle too, because like a lot of crazy things happen at nationals. So that's one thing I could say about it. And then it's also just like, it's like a cool experience, like that you can experience with like everybody, like your family, teammates and friends and coaches. So,
well, I tell you what, congratulations on the ACC title, winning one at 174 after winning earlier in your career at 165. Look forward to following you in Detroit, you and your teammates and the rest of the ACC. Makai, thanks again.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you guys.
You bet. Thank you, sir.
Boy, soft-spoken and will take you out. I mean, that guy right there is a bad man. I'm telling you, the first time we had Makai on, I was like, whoa, this guy, watch out. Of course, you know, we did the Olympic thing, and he's won the national championship. But those wrestlers, man, I like the wrestlers on the show. I do.
Yep.
They are no nonsense.
I'm excited to see kind of how it unfolds in Detroit, too. Yep. The league's got better than 36 invitations out to compete at the national championships in Detroit. When we come back, 8 o'clock hour rolls on. Don't forget Josh Pastner, Ja'Kia Brown-Turner set to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. The Voice of Victory brings us True or False next on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Forget Selection Day special, Sunday night, 9 o'clock. Kelsey Riggs and a small orchestra cover the men's and women's selection show. Imagine all the chairs they'll have to bring into the studio there in Bristol to get everybody lined up, right?
They can handle it.
Yeah, they can.
They got budgets.
Everybody will be involved. Look forward to it. 9 o'clock Eastern time. All the ACC teams, men and women, on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app.
Come down here and do the show if they wanted. I'll be watching.
Yeah.
Just crank up the lights. Bring them on in. Just bring some treats for the dogs. We can break it all down for you. It'd
be kind of hard to put that number of people in this room.
We can handle it.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, off to Bristol we go. His team doesn't play till tomorrow at noon.
And he's nervous.
But you're in for a treat because the voice of victory, Josh Macri, has joined us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you today?
Are you a little uptight? You nervous? You relaxed?
True. No, nervous.
True. You're being honest. Uptight, true. Yes.
Well, especially after Coach Hamilton came on. He's feeling loose, relaxed, ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
How was your pregame visit with Coach Hamilton before the show? Did you talk to him about, you know, how his team was and, you know, kind of get your emotions in check?
Yeah, I wished him luck.
Yeah, that's good. There you go. That's big of you.
Yeah, you know, the sportsmanship in Bristol is impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I'd shake his hand in a handshake line.
That's it.
Sure you would. There we go. That's okay.
That's all we needed.
That might be in the true-false test. Let's see what we got here.
We'll see.
All right, what do we got?
We'll see. Let's start with today's game. Of the teams playing today, Terquavion Smith and Darion Sebron are the only pair of teammates who average over 15 a game in conference play this year. Okay. True or false, Sebron and Smith will combine for 30 in their game against Clemson today. They combined for 29 in their first matchup this season, 27 of which came from Sebron.
True.
True.
True. It's the rest of the team I'm concerned about.
It's their defense is what I'm concerned about.
Well,
that's been the problem. I think they're going to score.
Yeah.
So, yeah, true.
Yeah, I agree with that. But the 30, yeah, I think they'll get 30. In fact, I'd like to revisit this tomorrow.
By the way, the 15 on the graphic there, that means their seed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
Yeah, I mean, we talked earlier about how Carolina got into the poll, and they're 25th. I don't think the Wolfpack are 15th nationally.
Just asking for my sake. Nobody else. Just for my sake. Just
we're here to educate.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah. True, though, is the answer
true
to the question.
Yeah.
True.
Last week, we saw history made in the women's tournament when 7th-seeded Miami made it all the way to the tournament championship. True or false, a team seeded 7th or lower will reach at least the semifinals in this year's tournament. In case you're wondering, the last time a team seeded 7th reached the semis, NC State in 2014.
Do you know who they beat in the opening round?
NC State in 14?
Yeah.
Since you're asking, I'm guessing it's Syracuse, but hold
that
on. Let me pull it up
correct.
On the Google machine.
Yeah, they beat the 2-seed Syracuse to get to the semis where they lost to Duke. If anybody's going, it's Virginia Tech.
Well, that's what I think, too.
Too good a shooting team. Too good a shooting team. I just think that they got way too many guns in the holster.
I think your assessment is spot on, Mr. Durham. And here's the other thing. Virginia Tech, whether they see Clemson or NC State combined this year, they were 1-2 against those two teams.
That is correct. Yeah. They're sitting with great interest this afternoon watching especially the NC State, the Clemson situation after last Saturday at Louisville.
Well, and I think that they would like to see Clemson again, in my opinion.
Yep.
But I think you're right. I think of all the teams, I don't think any of the double-digit teams can do it.
No.
Syracuse is struggling. Florida State's gone to somewhat of a roll, but still not completely healthy. So I think your assessment is spot on about Virginia Tech being the only one in that group that could do it.
Fun tournament fact, since 2007, when the format expanded to 11 games, it's now obviously more, only 8 low seeds, those are seeds 7 to 15, have won quarterfinal games. So just goes to show you kind of how the road gets paved here.
Yep.
And as you mentioned, Josh, it has not happened in 8 years. So there you go.
All right, next one.
It's funny you mentioned the number of games, Wes, because our next question has to do with percentages and number of games. As we talked about a number of times this season, 55 of 150 games in ACC play were decided by 5 points or fewer or in overtime. That calculates, off the top of my head, to be 36.7%.
Correct. Impressive.
True or false,
that's true.
More than 36.7% of games in the tournament will be decided by 5 or fewer or in overtime. In case you're wondering, 6 of the 14 would have to be decided by that margin.
False, because the question is too complicated. False.
The question is, at least 6 games will be decided by 5 or fewer.
False.
No. No. The best it's ever been in the expanded format is 2014, where the average point margin pack in the 14 games was 7.5. 8 games were 4 or less, and we had 2 overtime games. I just don't see that happening this year.
You know why I think it's false? Because I think you get to this stage of the season and in the tournament, you kind of know if you got a chance to be in the NCAA tournament if you don't. And when it starts going sideways, if you don't, you get smoked. So I don't think the fight's necessarily there once it starts getting out of hand. So yeah. I'm going to go false.
You're going to go false. I'm going to go false here too, and I'm hesitating only because I think today and parts of tomorrow have a chance to be really close. But I don't think they can get to 6. I think 4 is possible. I'm just not sure 6 games can be 5 or less or overtime.
So far we've agreed on every question. I don't know.
If you'd say 4 games, I would have jumped in, but I'm not sure 6 is. 6 is a number, then again, maybe later, but I'm going to say false.
Don't talk your way out of it, Wes.
I was getting ready to, so thank you.
I could feel it coming. Thank you. I could see your brain moving on this one. Like, oh, I see 4 or 5, I see 5. Don't do that.
Go ahead.
Percentage-wise, 5 out of 14 would be closest to the number if we were playing Price is Right rules. But
it's too confusing. It's too confusing. It's too many numbers.
You're not the one who usually gets tripped up by math.
I'm not tripped. I told you false.
He's trying to keep me off the ledge.
I'm trying to help Wes here.
All right, guys. Last one. True or false? A player who we had the honor of naming to first team All ACC yesterday will also win the Everett Case Award as ACC Tournament MVP. Last year, of course, Michael DeVoe won the Everett Case Award. He was not first team All ACC.
He was not any All ACC team last year.
Let's see, Syracuse, no. Cameron, I'm guessing. No. You know what?
I'm going to say yes, true.
Yeah, I think somebody off the board is going to do it.
No, I say true. I think it's going to be one of those five.
I disagree.
I'm going to go with one of those five.
Mark the tape on this. This will be a good mark the tape. I'm going to disagree. It's going to be somebody off the top five. Somebody else.
I'll take true. How's that, Josh?
I see the list one more time? It's Baycott, it's Banchero, it's Alanis Williams, it's McGusty, and it's Boeheim, right? That's the five?
That is correct.
True.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's somebody else, just for fun. Somebody else.
Who would you like to?
Well, let me just give you my thought process.
Okay.
Who do you think is going to be in the final? That's going to be in the first, because that's normally going to eliminate a lot of these guys on this list. Do you think Syracuse will be in the finals?
No, I don't.
So I don't think Boeheim can win it. No. Do you think Miami's in the finals?
No.
So McGusty's out.
Yes.
You think Wake's in the finals?
No.
Williams is out. So who do you think is in the final? Duke, Carolina?
I don't. I think it'll be Duke and Notre Dame or Carolina, Duke.
All right. If it's Duke, Notre Dame, then Baycott's out. So I'm going to go off the bat.
That's why I chose, I think, Banchero or Baycott.
All right. That's basically what you're saying. So yeah. I'll take the field.
Okay.
I'll take the field.
There we go.
That's how I just want to narrow that down. Make it really short and sweet.
Well done, Josh.
I like that question.
So thank you very much for your time and efforts. When we come back, off to New York we go. His team plays tonight, but he's looking to channel some of that postseason karma from a year ago. Remember when he used to join us from his palatial suite at the Grandover?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Face shield, I don't think it's in the bag. We'll have to ask. Josh Pastner next on Packer and Durham Power Hour.
Packer and Durham.